Dynamic Duo, where you can catch Kevin Barrett, Boy Wonder, on Mondays and Fridays, and Jim Fetcher during the middle 3 days of the week. My name is Morgan Reynolds, your guest host, this fine Tuesday, October 21, 2008. And I am excited, pleased, and honored to have as our guest today on the Dynamic Duo, Professor Jesus Huerta de Soto in Madrid, Spain. We're having a little bit of a problem connecting with him, but I hope he will be along shortly. I just emailed him. And Professor de Soto is a professor of economics at Rey Juan Carlos University of Madrid in Spain, and he is Spain's leading Austrian school economist, which may not mean all that much to many of our listeners, but that means to me he is the leading Austrian school economist in Spain, meaning, hey, he's the leading economist in Spain. And in Madrid, the university affiliation that he has extends back to the Middle Ages. And Professor de Soto is an author, a translator, publisher, and a teacher. And over there, it's a six-hour time difference, so I think it's only about 10 p.m. in the evening. And when his name is Professor de Soto, the main street in my village here in Arkansas is de Soto, named after the explorer Hernando de Soto. And my street is Alta Way, meaning high in Spanish. And an adjoining street here is Albacete, which is a town in Spain, etc. So there's it's very interesting to me that Spain played a big factor in the Americas, including North America, that we perhaps tend to overlook. And de Soto was one of the explorers, conquistadores, and he was governor of Cuba, and he made it all the way over here to Arkansas. And this takes me back to the 16th century. Spain was a much bigger factor in the world, of course, a leading empire. And Spain, I just find it interesting to give a few facts about Spain, which is larger than the state of California, but smaller than the state of Texas, and it's about 40 million in population. And Professor de Soto is a leading economist in Europe, and to me, he's the leading authority on the financial crises and the business cycle. And his book, which is titled Money, Bank Credit, and Economic Cycles, is a magnificent, monumental work. It is it displays vast erudition and scholarship, and it's not clever or original, which is what American economists tend to be, and mathematical. No, he gets to the heart of the matter in English prose. It's available from the Mises Institute down in Auburn, Alabama. That's mises.org. Money, Bank Credit, and Economic Cycles. He also, Professor de Soto has an article, recent article that the Mises.org put out on October 6th called Financial Crisis and Recession. So I hope to get Professor de Soto on shortly and discuss the nature of today's events, but more importantly, perhaps, is to get the underlying problems that create these wave-like patterns in the mixed economy, a boom, credit expansion, and then a bust, the financial crisis followed by a recession or a depression. So let me begin, and let's hope Professor de Soto calls in, since we weren't able to reach him from this end, and point out what banking goes way back to ancient times. And Professor de Soto puts his finger on the main problem that banking creates, and that is Deposits. What do you do with a deposit, a so-called demand deposit or checkable deposit? What is the bank supposed to do with a deposit? It's supposed to have the deposit or its equivalent on hand at all times so that you can use it at any time. Here's an example of a durable, tangible good. I have a travel trailer. It's over in a storage area. And what have I done? I've transferred it to the lock and load storage company. And I want them to just keep this. This is not fungible. It's basically a durable consumer good. I've got this trailer. I want to have access to it at any time. And that means that I'm willing to pay them to keep it in custody, keep it in safekeeping for me, and I can come in at any time through the gate, through the code, and access it. Okay, that's the nature of the contract there. The lock and load custodian isn't supposed to be renting it out for his own profit. And, of course, this would be hard to do in terms of making it available all the time plus renting it out to profit. Well, now, it's a lot easier to do in banking, isn't it? What can a banker do? The banker attracts all these deposits. They pile up. They're supposed to be available on demand. They're supposed to be in safekeeping by the banker on behalf of the depositor. The banker's not, this isn't a loan to the banker to lend out in turn. Okay? The banker is supposed to keep that money on hand at all time. It's otherwise known as 100% reserve requirement. Okay? But what do the bankers actually do in fact? They lend out deposits and keep back only a fraction of the deposits. For ordinary, normal times, this kind of works. They'll keep back 6 to 10% on hand. And okay, if people trust the bankers are going to make it available, they if you will, go along with it. But that's a violation of the terms of the contract. That is not a loan. A loan, for example, has a definite term. A loan to the bank is more like a certificate of deposit. And this whole thing has gotten to be very, very confused, partly because of the banking industry's intent to keep it confusing and not separate strictly these different kinds of, one's a deposit and the other is really a loan, where you get a certificate of deposit for a definite length and a payment of an interest rate, like anywhere from 2% on up. Okay, so Professor DeSoto has identified the source of the problem. This is when bankers lend out a so-called demand deposits, money you're supposed to have available on demand at any time, that creates enormous problems. That's the source of the wave. We'll go further into this. The real story of what's behind financial and economic crises. This is Morgan Reynolds, your guest host on The Dynamic Duo. Please return. Your guest host this fine Tuesday, October 21. And so far, your guest host is solo because the announced guest, Professor DeSoto from Madrid, Spain, unfortunately, we've not been able to get on the line yet, but I'm still hopeful. So the reason to have economist DeSoto on was that he is a leading authority, and I think he's the leading authority on economic cycles, the business cycle, the financial crises that repeatedly vex us in the mixed economy. And policy analysis has three components. First is state the problem. Well, that's pretty easy in that we have this boom-bust pattern that seemingly is destructive. It's a manic and depressive type economy that we seem plagued with. Why can't we have a smoother economic expansions? And the second stage of sound policy analysis is what's the cause of the problem? This is the stage that is most often overlooked. And then the third stage is, and this leads naturally from once you've diagnosed the causes, to the proposed solution. The proposed part three, usually people go from part one, the problem, to part three, the solution, ignoring the critical analysis of what is causing this. Because a solution cannot work if it doesn't address the causes. Now, this is true certently in medical problems, mechanical problems, scientific, or in this case, the political economy, the so-called mixed economy that we have, consisting of an awful lot of government intervention as well as we'll call it more natural economic processes called the free market. So, what Professor DeSoto has gifted us with is a sound analysis of what causes this wave-like motion of boom and bust in the economy. And this cause is well hidden by the banking community. And to put it very bluntly, banks are thieving operations. And okay, this sounds pretty extreme, but it's basically a fraudulent deal where you think you've got $10,000 in a checkable demand deposit at the bank, but the bank on average doesn't have any more than $1 for every 10 and it supports in demand deposits. What has it done with the rest? It's loaned it out. Well, that's a violation of traditional legal principles of deposit. That wasn't a loan. You aren't loaning the money because you don't have the usual characteristics of a loan. In particular, you don't have a given term of a loan like you would with a certificate of deposit. Now, a CD, then you are loaning money to the bank, and the bank acts as a true intermediary between borrowers, mostly in the business community, who want to undertake productive investments. And it's an intermediary, a link savers and borrowers, or in other words, lenders and borrowers. The bank performs a perfectly legitimate function there. And Professor DeSoto, in this magnificent volume of his, Money, Bank Credit, and Economic Cycles, goes through this analysis very carefully. And in Chapter 2, he talks about historical violations of the legal principles governing this monetary so-called irregular deposit contract, which means ordinary demand deposit, checkable deposit, where you have presumably have all your money available on demand. But in truth, you don't when everybody shows up during abnormal times and demands to take their money out of the bank. So the bank is committing a type of fraud here, and it's violating traditional legal principles. And Professor DeSoto from Madrid, Spain, goes through this very carefully, explaining this and offering all kinds of historical illustrations of the violations. And so now the banking community, why can they get away with this? Loaning out demand deposits. Well, guess what? They have the cooperation of the government. The government sees a way to gain access to spending without taxation, which is highly unpopular. So the banks and the government have been at this for many, many centuries, millennia. Certainly going back to ancient Rome and even earlier civilizations. So it's a violation, and DeSoto goes through all these. He goes through a bunch of legal opinions, pointing out that traditional legal principles of contract law ought to apply to banks. Now, it's pretty easy to see, since human nature is weak, that the banks are tempted. There's a very strong temptation to take some of this money and loan it out to gain profit for the bank, the bank shareholders, And this almost irresistible temptation has to be stopped. You've got to enforce ordinary, traditional legal principles against this form of theft. It can be called a crime of misappropriation of the depositor's money. So DeSoto goes through very carefully this analytically. Now, why it seems like this is a legal treatment rather than an economic treatment? Well, yes and no. I mean, it is a legal treatment, but the reason that it's so important is that when the banks take deposits that are unbacked by voluntary saving and pyramid this up, multiply these via the loan process, which creates new deposits, that's artificial credit expansion, artificial loan expansion. And economists, of course, have been able to at least penetrate the veil of money to that extent. Professor DeSoto, in his chapters 3 and 4, go through this credit expansion process. So one way you can do this, that although this is tedious, you can go through the arithmetic page by page, and we're not going to do that, but we will resume our explication of Professor DeSoto's analysis of money, bank credit, and economic cycles, and we'll even get to the bottom line about today's situation. This is Morgan Reynolds with the Dynamic Duo. My name is Morgan Reynolds, and I'm your guest host this fine Tuesday, October 21, and hey, I was excited, pleased, and was going to be honored by today's guest, which we still have hope, don't we? Professor Jesus Huerta de Soto, a leading economist in Spain. And as a substitute, I am explaining his book, which is Money, Bank Credit, and Economic Cycles. And this rather fat tome of 876 pages may not be the easiest reading matter, but you can get short versions of this on my website, nomoregames.net. I have a recent article, actually on October 6th, that called The Economic Crisis Explained by Jesus Huerta de Soto. And that's a pretty manageable piece. And in addition, on the same day, Professor DeSoto had a piece at Mises.org. That's Mises.org. And, of course, I think this is tremendously important because of all the confusion and erroneous analysis that surrounds this current financial and economic crisis. And Professor DeSoto believes that the Furies have been unleashed finally after 15 years nearly of reckless artificial credit expansion. So in the preceding segment, I was explaining that in Professor DeSoto's book, now available in English, 2006, the real long-term source of our problem is banks loaning out demand deposits, the deposits that people put on hand for custody, safekeeping, and expect to be there basically 100% backed. And we'll get to the whole business about gold and silver eventually too, but that it's a lot different than a loan. Demand depositors are not loaning their money out to the bank, who would then in turn loan it out to a presumably creditworthy, productive borrower. That's not what the deal is. It's rather akin to my example of the travel trailer, which I have on deposit and want to access whenever I want to. And the lock and load storage is got to have it on hand 100% of the time for my use. Okay, and that's what we want with our money on deposit as well. That's different than a certificate of deposit, which is a confusing name. It's not really a deposit. It's a loan. You're loaning your money when you buy a CD. And the bank, in turn, will want to loan it out at a higher interest rate to a creditworthy borrower and profit by the margin, the difference between the two interest rates, that being paid and that being received. So, excuse me. Okay, Morgan Reynolds here, trying to do the best I can in explaining Professor DeSoto's view that the banks violate traditional legal principles. The contract in a demand deposit is not the same as a loan. And in fact, the bank, I don't care how much they have on hand as demand deposits, can't loan out any of that money. That's a form of misappropriation, a fraud, and a theft. Okay, well, but the banks throughout history have done this. Okay, now, what are the consequences? The government lets them get away, actually helps them in this form of thievery for the government's own profit purposes. Okay, well, why does this lead to a boom bust? Well, when the bank loans out demand deposit money and keeps back only 10 cents on a dollar, that creates a loan. That, in turn, creates a deposit. The deposits basically don't leave the system. They're put in another bank, and that bank, in turn, takes that and loans out 90% of it on into this great multiplication. So if the fractional reserve ratio, the amount held back against demand deposits by banks, is only 10%, that means that the ultimate increase in the credit total is 10 times the initial deposit. Okay, so that's in principle a maximum. Now, there's leakage and things are more complicated, but that's the basic idea, is that loaning out these demand deposits in violation of traditional legal principles of contract law results in an artificial expansion of credit, an artificial bunch of new debt. And it's really a very wicked thing. Because why? Because it's not backed by voluntary savings. When you voluntarily save, what you're saying is, okay, I give up consumption today, consumption purchases today, in favor of the promise of more tomorrow, or 1 year hence, or 10 years hence, so more in the future. And I'm going to get the interest rate. So if I give up a dollar of consumption spending today, I'll get $1.10 in consumption spending at the end of 1 year. And I'm exchanging present for future goods, or options to goods. So that's all fine and well. That saving, voluntary saving, finds its way into investment, which increases capital goods and production and is an engine of economic expansion. Nothing is distorted by that. It's all coordinated well by the market process. Now, what happens, however, with artificial credit expansion via the bank system is that there aren't any savings behind it. Certainly all this augmented credit expansion, and you're giving entrepreneurs the wrong signals. You're basically have a lower and artificially depressed interest rate. Entrepreneurs undertake projects that will not ultimately pay off. They're longer term, they're more capital intensive. Here's a good example, because I've still got some precious metals mining shares. Opening a new mine for mining gold or silver, you know, real hard rock mining, that is a tremendous investment that will not pay off for years. It's a huge thing to open a mine like that. Well, if entrepreneurs are misled by an artificially low interest rate and eat cheap money, easy credit, they're going to undertake a project that ultimately is going to fail. So what you have here is a smooth process when real savings find their way into investment. Everything is harmonized. It's coordinated well. entrepreneurs are not misled into undertaking projects that will ultimately fail, because they're so their payoff is in the distant future and they're extremely capital intensive. Okay, but this basically bank thieving, loaning out that which is not theirs and expanding credit, leads to discoordination. It misleads entrepreneurs, and that's going to it creates a bust, and then we're going to a boom, and then we're going to have a bust. Okay, this is Morgan Reynolds, your guest host today on the Dynamic Duo. Don't go away. My name is Morgan Reynolds, your guest host today on this fine Tuesday, October 21, and we have been unable to connect with Professor DeSoto in Madrid, Spain, but he has done some marvelous work. I think he's the leading monetary expert in the world, and I'm laying out pieces of the essential pieces of his work, especially his major book, which is Money, Bank Credit, and Economic Cycles. It's available from Mises.org, M-I-S-E-S.org. And Brady, our technician, reminded me I should give you the call-in number, and maybe we can make this more interactive. That is 866-582-9933. Let me give that one more time, 866-582-9933, if you'd like to call in to our Dynamic Duo show today, where we're focusing on the financial crisis and the whole wave-like motion of boom and bust in the mixed economy in the modern world, although it actually goes back many, many centuries, when we recognize that banks and the monetary system is absolutely at the core of everything here. Let me go back to Professor DeSoto's book, where in his early chapters, he explains why the demand deposits being loaned out is illicit. It's illegal by traditional legal standards and leads to all kinds of trouble. It's otherwise known as a fractional reserve banking system rather than the 100% reserve. And that leads to banks as a system creating artificial credit. And this expansion process goes through this system of entrepreneurs and everybody else basically taking advantage of artificially low interest rates and artificially created credit or debt. And it spreads through the system, and it misleads people about what the real situation is in terms of savings available and which projects are actually going to pay off. And these highly capital-intensive investment schemes ultimately won't pay off. It's very much, doesn't this resemble a little bit the housing boom and bust? Yes, it does. And we had cheap money, artificially low interest, and cheap money basically created ex nihilo, as they said in Latin, out of nothing, from nothing. And that's what the banking system did by creating these artificial loans illicitly from demand deposits. Now, what happens is that because reality ultimately bites, it has to. The economy is not a clockwork. It's not that precise, but it does work in accord with economic principles. Well, what happens is the banks start to get nervous about some of these loans perhaps not paying off. The boom has gone on, and everybody is delirious with there's a corrosion of morals. There's all kinds of cultural, social things that go with this. But it's pretty clear some of these are going to fail, and just about anything can set this off, like we had the subprime mortgage crisis. And the banks, we better pull in our horns to maintain our solvency. And that triggers, all you need is basically the credit expansion lets up. You know, we had, for example, M3, one measure of money supply, doubled in 6 years. So it's growing at 10% plus per year. And it's just artificial. We don't have that kind of voluntary savings, abstaining from consumption expenditure. So all of a sudden, there's a financial crisis. And the financial crisis is basically recognizing the harm that was done in the real economy, the squandering of savings. And it's not overinvestment. No, it's a malinvestment, the Austrian school economists call it. Malinvestments, bad investments that won't ultimately pay off because entrepreneurs and investors have been misled about how abundant borrowing and savings, therefore, really were. So you get this financial crisis, and the recession or depression is the adjustment process to reality. In other words, it's dissipating or liquidating bad investments and discontinuing those and shifting resources to better hands. And basically, you bottom out, you reestablish the grounds for sound economic expansion. But of course, what happens is, while you do get this wringing out of some of the losers and transfer of resources to better ideas, better investments, the whole process starts over again, where, now, where does the central bank come in? The central bank, we call it the Federal Reserve System here, which was a monster created in 1913 after a couple of decades of propagandizing by the banking community. Well, what did they want in 1913? They wanted an elastic supply of money and credit, and they wanted a lender of last resort. See, the banking system needs this lender of last resort to bail out the banks when the crisis comes, the financial crisis. Gee whiz, aren't we seeing that today? Right? I mean, every day it seems like they've got some kind of crazy new bailout scheme, from nationalization to lending to buying bad assets, or they're not assets at all, really, because there's just no market for some of these things. They're worthless. And then equity participation. So that what we've got is central bank and now treasury involvement writ large, like never before, because we've had such an artificial expansion of credit that we've basically got a financial crack up. And Professor DeSoto, the author of this magnificent volume, Money, Bank, Credit, and Economic Crises, calls it a situation of unleashing. Let me get that quote here. Unleashing the fury of this downturn. And I wish I had him on the line, but it sounds to me like he is predicting a particularly deep and probably extended recession or depression. And all these interventions, of course, are counterproductive by this view, by this understanding of what drives the financial crisis and the ensuing recession. Because if the authorities did nothing, that would be a very sound policy, because we would basically liquidate. This is the so-called classical medicine. Oh, gee, with that's too harsh, the classical medicine. Yeah, but it works. It works. And back in 1920-21, it was known as the last free market recession, so-called, coming off the Great War, the World War One, as it was subsequently known after, 1945 anyway. And there what you had was, the whole attitude was different than today. Today, of course, it's thought that government is a solution. The more government, the bigger the government, the better, and it can solve all these problems. You know, this is complete fiction. This is Morgan Reynolds, your guest host on the Dynamic Duo. We're discussing the financial crisis and the recession on our hands. And so don't go away. Come on back.